Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
The Buffalo Bills have traded the 28th pick to the Kansas City Chiefs.
You what?
With the 28th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the back-to-back Super Bowl champions, Kansas City Chiefs, select Xavier Worthy.
Everybody stay calm.
What's the procedure, everyone? What's the procedure?
Stay calm.
The Buffalo Bills have traded the 32nd pick to the Carolina Panthers.
Why are you the way that you are?
With the 32nd pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Carolina Panthers select Xavier Leggett.
Wait a minute. How did this happen? We're smarter than this.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey, good morning. Happy Friday. Howdy, Bills Mafia. Jeremy White, Jody Biasi.
He said Leggett, by the way?
He did say Leggett.
He paused, though, which makes me think he doesn't actually... It's not that we've been pronouncing it wrong.
No,
the whole
no,
time.
No.
It's Goodell.
He paused, and he gave... In that moment, he thought to himself, oh, man, I forgot to ask. I'm going for it. Leggett.
Roger ain't making many trips to Paris these days, I guess.
It is 7:04. Sal Capaccio joining us on the Western Hotline. He was at One Bills Drive yesterday. A late evening. Sal, I thought we had a late night, and I realized I was going to bed while Brandon Bean was kind of talking and listening to that. So you had a much, much later night. Good morning. Thanks for being here. Thanks for waking up early. I should have let you sleep a little longer. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I mean, either way, actually, it doesn't matter. Either way, it was going to be an early morning for me. I don't even know if I slept. You ever have one of those nights you're like, did I even sleep?
Yeah.
Like, I remember laying there and tossing. I left the facility. I tweeted a picture. I have it up at 2:26 a.m. I left the facility. So
wow.
Got home, 3 o'clock, tried to... You know, get in bed, and my mind was still racing about everything. And I actually thought of you guys a lot. I didn't know what I'm like, man, all those, you had this draft party, people down there, and for the Bills not to take anybody, like, what was that like, right? So what was it like to be down there and have that happen, basically?
It was funny, I guess. I mean, you know, that's how it was. A great party. We had a great time. We had so many great people out there and had fun. And, you know, watching picks get cheered when a – offensive tackle got taken, another quarterback. Every quarterback pick got cheered. So every receiver pick got booed. You know, we had a good time. And now the Bills are on the clock at 33. So I want to say it's not – nobody's really that surprised because, you know, we knew this could happen. I don't have any sort of shock other than trading with the Chiefs, which I don't think is a death sentence, but I you know, the way I've been saying it this morning is I just wouldn't have done that. And for anybody that says, this is a very key point, I want to thank Joe for making it. For anybody that says, oh, you can never think about who you're trading with, why would you worry about that? The Bills, according to a report, told Diggs anywhere but KC. So if that's true, then there's a precedent for them to be worried about what KC would get. In this case, you know, they clearly weren't worried about it, but I reserve the right to be worried about what they gave KC.
You have every right to do that. And so let me just explain the way Brandon Bean explained it. And people can agree with it, disagree with it, whatever. I mean, you're right. But it was one of the first questions asked to Brandon Bean, which is, did you have any hesitation about trading with the Kansas City Chiefs? And he said, no, not really. And I didn't really think of it like this until he said it, which I understand. He said, like, we can't, if they're going to, whoever they're going to take, they're going to get anyway then. Like, because obviously, and he didn't say this, obviously the Bills didn't value Xavier Worthy where he was taken, or else the Bills would have taken him there. So they basically decide to move down because another team wants to come up. So let's just say the Bills just pass on Worthy. Well, now Kansas City probably trades with 29 to get Worthy, or they trade with 30, or they take him and get him at 32. He was asked specifically, like, did you have any communication on who they'd take? He said, no, like, they're not going to tell us who their pick is. But, you know, they obviously did not have Xavier Worthy or Xavier Legette valued enough to take him there, or they would have taken him.
Right.
And his explanation of not being afraid to trade with Kansas City is, well, they're going to get him anyway then, basically. Like, we can't think about that. We can't worry. We're just going to take the best deal that we could. And his rationale for the best deal was they moved up 40 spots in one of the rounds. Round three, I guess it would be, right? From 4 to 3. They moved up 40 spots. He said that's what he was focused on.
Yeah. I mean, I buy that to a degree. They gained 6 points on the draft value chart with that, which is not a huge bump, but they gained some. And to the point about, like, the Chiefs would have gotten him anyway, I don't know if Bean can really make that point. Again, you don't have to really worry about this, but if that were true, why does Bean trade up 2 spots all the time? He does it because he says, if I don't do it, someone else would take him. And the Chiefs clearly felt that if they didn't move up, somebody else would have taken him. So you ended up being...
Right. So the Chiefs valued him higher than the Bills.
No,
that's as simple as that.
But they also must have thought someone was picking them before they were going to be on the clock.
I'm not confused about how the Bills did not think he was worth that pick, and, you know, time will tell on that. You know what this reminds me of, Sal? This reminds me of back before the Bills had a quarterback, we would evaluate their passing on other quarterbacks. Who have they passed on? Who did they decide was not that good? And if you remember the drought, there were not that many quarterbacks that the Bills passed on, right? When they were Lossman and Manuel and Fitz are the quarterbacks through the drought, who's the best quarterback they passed on? Like, Russell Wilson went in the third round, but they were very rarely in a position to take one. So here we are today. Like, we'll see if Xavier Legette or Xavier Worthy both flame out. Well, then, hey, good on you, Bills. And if they pop and they're amazing, then, you know, we'll look back and think about what they passed on. So, you know, dealing with Kansas City is the sexy story, the emotional side of it. Today, though, here we are in the first pick of the second round. You have a feeling?
Can I just ask, though, what I'm a little confused what you meant, though. Just sorry, can you explain that again? Why do they go up two spots?
When the Bills trade up 2 spots or 3 spots for Elam or Kincaid, we say it's because they wouldn't have gotten him if they didn't trade up. And I just
believe they probably wouldn't have.
That's right. And I just want to apply that same energy to the Chiefs trade. They did it because they thought they wouldn't get him if they did.
Right, but that has nothing to do with the Bills and how they value
them.
I just want to make sure.
What I would then say to that is, and again, Bean must not have thought it was valuable enough. He basically has the ability to stop the Chiefs from getting their guy. Because the Chiefs clearly think that...
He does not. He doesn't know what other team they would take.
I'm not saying that. I don't agree that they have the ability to stop it. And again, if they wanted the trade down, there might not have been another team offering that. I'm only saying, if we're going to say when the Bills trade up for Kincaid, they did it because they wouldn't have gotten him, then we should say it about the Chiefs and Xavier Worthy. That's all.
Yes, the Chiefs absolutely felt they had to do that to get
Xavier
Worthy.
Yes, that's all.
I agree with you.
And I'm not even here telling you that the Bills made a colossal error, because Worthy made me nervous too. I said, the emotional side of it is I'm not really that comfortable with making the trade with the Chiefs, but ultimately what the Bills do with their offseason is still to be written. Yeah. I mean, if they trade that second round pick today, the 2 twos for Ayuk, I mean, all of a sudden they have a number one receiver. So there's a lot of stories still to be written.
Okay, so I agree with that. Certainly the Chiefs felt like, hey, we might not get him, so let's go up and get him, right? And the Bills could not have blocked him. They're like, hey, look, we're not going to take him, so we can have no control after that. Whoever wants who's left on the board, they can trade up to him, they can do whatever. Now we can, and there's a lot of scar tissue, right? Of course it is. It's not just because of the Chiefs being the team you haven't beaten. It's because of the Patrick Mahomes trade. I mean, there's so much scar tissue, and that's why a lot of Bills fans are upset. I mean, if you're very upset, it's because it's the Chiefs, or it's just because you really liked Xavier Worthy and think, you know, he should have been taken there. And that's totally reasonable and fair. And in a couple of years, if he is a really good player and they win, this is another big storyline between these two teams. But I'm going to expand it out and say The same goes for Xavier Leggett, right? I thought 32 would have been Leggett now. Like, I really believe the Bills love Leggett. I thought he'd be a good fit for them. You get to 32, and you're like, nah, we're going to go to 33 now. It's the exact same thing, which is interesting. My biggest, I don't really care too much about the Worthy thing. Like, that's because Bean's right. After thinking about it, like, yeah, if you don't value the guy, then what are you going to do? If you can move down and you can do something else, doesn't matter who else takes him. You didn't value him that much. That's not the point that I think about. I think about the point of they went into the night. They have not had a number one wide receiver on their roster since April 3rd, trading Stephon Diggs, if you even believe he was, which I think most people, even if he's declining, think he was. They still have no number one, and no matter what they do today, short of trading for a rostered player in the league, they have no number one wide receiver on this roster. And even if they would have taken Worthy or Leggett, he's probably not a number one anyway. The only way you get one there is probably last night going up to get one of the top four guys. And even Thomas would be debatable if he'd be a number one. But I'm looking at it from a broader like roster perspective of who's your number one receiver? Because let's go back 8 days ago when Brandon said, like, we don't have to have a number one wide receiver. We can have success in this offense. And I'm like, okay, he's going to say that, but he really doesn't believe that, does he? Well, he might actually believe that. And I'm just fascinated what they're going to do at that position.
Yeah. 33 tonight. I mean, there's still guys on the board, Sal. It is incredible, though, like the moving down. And I know, you know, maybe this came up a little bit with Bean yesterday, but that all this trading down and what happened last night, like I really am left wondering how different it would be had they got the third for Tremaine Edmonds.
I agree. I mean, it was a big deal. And listen, I've read a lot of fans saying that he just valued it so much by hell and high water. It didn't matter what it would cost him. He wanted to get a third round pick. I asked him about that last night. I said, listen, you said how much that really impacted your plans, third round pick. And he said he did not go into the draft thinking I got to do it. He said, when you get to a certain point, though, of, you know, you have chances to get that type of capital and you can trade down and you can do these things. That's when you do it. It's not made, you know, going into, by the way, he also said they never tried to move up even. He said all the stuff about moving to the top 10, he called it all smoke, basically.
He said, that was never true. To be very specific, I didn't call those teams the day ahead of the draft. So, and he did say, like, aggressively. I thought, Sal, he put a timestamp on those calls. I think he might have gotten all of the prices and, you know, the draft's going along and he maybe never makes that call yesterday or the day before. Would be a very specific.
He did say, though, to start, they did not try to move up. But
he said, we did not try to aggressively move up. Nobody called us, and I'm not calling those teams a day ahead of the draft. So, to me, him putting the time on it makes it so I can believe him being honest, but also that he would have received whatever, the intel to find out what it's worth. Because, let's put it this way. If he never called to find the prices, aren't we disappointed in that? You got to find out what the price is.
Yeah, I guess I take it like that, too, which is fine and fair, which is, like, I called to see, and then once I knew, I'm like, I'm not going to try it. It doesn't matter.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to try it. He had no interest in really doing it, so they sat there. And, like, so anyway, I did ask and say, like, hey, you know, was it just you got to have this third-round pick? It's like, no, like, you see how things are happening and how it's falling, and you follow the board, and it gets to your pick, and you're like, okay. And I said, when did the talks with the Chiefs start? He said about 3 to 4 picks beforehand. He said generally that's what he didn't say that specific one. He goes, generally these things start 3 to 4 picks beforehand. Brian Gain was the assistant GM, is the assistant GM for the Bills. He was appointment on with the Chiefs, and he was, you know, kind of brokering that deal and in contact with them. So, Joe, I mean, you know, the third round pick, it just seems to me like it was a really big deal for them to have it. But according to him, like, it wasn't like I got to have one no matter what. But he felt a lot more comfortable getting that versus what was still left on the board and drafting. He also said they have a lot more second-round grades than they did first-round grades.
Okay.
But he also, and then backed it up with, his phone was already ringing about pick number 33 as of last night.
Did he also talk about, Sal, that there were other offers that maybe he could have gone even further down in the second round but chose not to?
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
I believe, I have to go back and listen, I believe that's the case. That he said that, like, yeah, he didn't want to wait that long. He didn't want to go back too far.
Okay, yeah.
That was one. Yeah, there was something about he didn't want to go back so far. There were other offers, but he needed to, he didn't want to, you know, he had a chance to go to 32, and then all of a sudden he could have gone even farther back, but he didn't want to do that.
He made, okay, yeah, he talked about he could have gone into the 40s or the 50s, but that would have been too big of a drop, which would... You know, I would really hope that it means that he's got a group of receivers. Like, to me, it doesn't have to be that. Maybe they start tonight with Cooper DeJean, but my best hope, Sal, is part of why they're willing to trade out of Worthy and Leggett is maybe they think there's five or six receivers that are all about the same, and they think they'll get one of them if they stay high in the second.
And I'm inclined to think receiver is very much not in play at 33 because you just wouldn't risk it. If you don't know what those teams are going to – who they're going to take – You wouldn't mess around with it. But, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, the chart you talk about the Jimmy Johnson chart. Of course, there's that. There's a few other ones. Chad, his name escapes me. He did a chart. There's a bunch of charts. And I'm seeing some of that. And I saw Seth Walder's tweet. It said that it's the cheapest move up for a non-quarterback like in the chart. And that's fine. That means that they didn't get what normally you get. But I don't think it was like that they got... I think it's... The point of a trade is I think you just want to, you know, you're not trying to get over on the other team. If you do, you do, right? It'd be great. It's more of a, well, we want to do what's fair, right? I mean, what's fair to you, what's fair to me? Let's try and make this work. And I think that's what they tried to do here. But at the end of the day, it's interesting to me that they went in with 10 picks. They left with 10 picks.
Yeah.
It wasn't like they added more picks. What they did do, though, was they took a whole group of picks and they kind of shifted them up a little bit, right? Including now having 33 and another second round of their own, and then having a third rounder, which they didn't. They have 4 fifth round picks, guys, now. Are any of us here going to bet they're actually going to use all 4 fifth round picks?
I could see them moving up from 60, honestly, and packaging a bunch of that stuff. He said he might have more second round grades than first round grades, but unless he's got, what, Sal, 40 to 50 second round grades, like you could get to 60 and there's a very good chance that you're into the third round guys at that point.
You know, I mean, they might come out of this with 3 second round picks.
They could, you know. Well, see, I
was thinking more move up
if they're
going to
use 33. The great points last night by a lot of, you know, everybody was talking about it, and it's obviously an easy point to make, but it's true, which is they get, you know, not true 24 hours, but you get 24 hours to field calls, sit on it, think about it, and decide and really kind of evaluate. You have the first pick tonight. You control, you know, to use your term from last week, Jeremy, you control the board, right? Yep. I mean, that's what you do. And the Bills have a chance here to do that. So I wouldn't be stunned if they trade down again and he didn't rule it out. I also do think it's interesting that Cooper DeJean is still there. And I'm going to tell you, like, I love Cooper DeJean. I think he's going to be fantastic in this league. I think he is an amazing fit for this defense. He is Micah Hyde / Jordan Poyer. He's everything the Bills love in that position. I'm going to tell you something that Thad Brown said about Cooper DeJean the other day. We were doing a Buffalo Kickoff Live show the other night. And I asked him at the end last night, I said, you said this, right? I said, I heard you say this, and do you believe it? He goes, listen, I was being a little hyperbolic, but yes, I do believe it. He said, I think Cooper DeJean is going to be a 5-time All-Pro in this league. That's what he said, right, on TV. Now, I'm going to tell you this. The reason why I haven't been sitting here pumping Cooper DeJean for the Buffalo Bills, I've just never believed that they would go out and draft a rookie safety and plop him in this offense, considering how they've treated the position. And people would say, well, how do you know how they've treated the position, Sal? They've had the same guys there for 7 years. Here's how I know. Because those two guys were 2 4-year vets. Guess what happened when either of them went out? They'd went out early on in their career. They would sign early when in this regime. They'd go get a Kurt Coleman. They'd go get a Dean Marlowe. And then what happened after that? Late in their careers, they signed a Taylor Rapp. They signed a Mike Edwards. The Bills have never been interested in playing young players at that position. They don't want to do it. And look what happened when they did a couple years ago when DeMar Hamlin was on the field having to play safety, which they don't want to have to do. So that's why I haven't pumped Cooper DeJean's, you know, pumped them up here about the Bills. But I'm telling you that if the Bills do that, I'd be really surprised that they do, like, go with a young guy. But holy cow, I think he's going to be good in this league.
Yeah. Isn't part of his thing, too, that he has that versatility, Sal, to play nickel corner,
yes,
which I'm not saying is a bad thing. It's just the Bills might need that less than others just because they have Taron Johnson.
He can play... Really, he can play any corner, to be honest with you. He can play outside, too, if you really want him. He's Micah Hyde, guys. He's Micah Hyde with even, I believe, even more dynamic ability to return punts. No offense to Micah, you know, but he's a guy that can do that as well. Look at his punt return. Here we go. Last year, he has had 31 punt returns in his career, average over 13 yards of punt return at Iowa. Like, he has that ability. So, if you're going to go off the board, that's a guy. The other guy that people thought last night, talking in the media room, Johnny Newton, Jerzan Johnny Newton. Now, I don't know if he's my flair for the Bills because he's more like an Ed Oliver. He is a little bigger than Ed Oliver, but he is a little bit undersized. He's a sideline-to-sideline penetrating defensive tackle. That could be something they like to do. And if they do go defense, if they do go DeJean, if they do go Johnny Newton, well, look, what's going to happen is we're going to have a lot of talk of, well, Sean McDermott controls everything. This is what he wanted. I don't believe that for one second. I mean, they might be players that fit for him, but Brandon Bean's job is to get players that fit for the Buffalo Bills, and he's going to make the call.
How much are you thinking about pondering? Did you see Matt Miller's tweet from last night, Sal, about how basically by moving down to 33, actually, this wasn't even Matt Miller. It was a non-Bill scout that said this, that by moving down to 33, the Bills now have a whole day to try and trade for T. Higgins or one of the Niners receivers.
Yep. That's the tweet I thought you were referring to anyway. So, yes, I did see that. I think it's really interesting. There was a lot of stuff last night about Deebo Samuel being back on the trading block. Like, we might have thought he might have been, you know, earlier. Then what do? They go out and they – because look at guys. They drafted Ricky Pearsall, another guy the Bills obviously could have had but didn't feel worthy enough right there. They drafted him. They have the Brandon Ayuk situation on their hands, and now they have Deebo Samuel. And a lot of people believe that maybe they're shopping him. Yeah, I'm wondering, did Brandon Bean – let's go back to my point earlier. They still have no number one wide receiver. Is the plan to take all of this capital and then trade for one? And oh, by the way, when your $10 million gets added to your salary cap on June 1st, now you can restructure the contract and be able to extend the player and pay them? I don't know. Whoever that is, T. Higgins, Brandon Ayuk, Deebo Samuel, a guy we're not thinking of somewhere. I do think it's possible because I still go back to my thing, which is they do not have a number one wide receiver. And guys, I love Ladd McConkey. And I really like Javon Baker a lot. Like, go get these guys. Great. You're helping the roster. They're not walking in here and being the number one wide receiver.
At least not right away.
Yeah.
That's right.
Other stuff from the draft last night, Sal, is the Falcons drafting a quarterback at 8. But by the way, on that, I hadn't seen this till this morning. Did you see that Cousins was not given a heads up? Like,
I did.
Is wild.
Like a quick, like, courtesy phone call of, yeah, you know, we're kind of thinking about it, but yeah. And then he seemed blindsided. But look, if you're Kirk Cousins, you're like, I don't care. I got $100 million guaranteed.
That's right.
Like, he might be mad, but he got that. That's what is wild about this. It's not like they traded for Kirk Cousins on a we'll see deal. Dude, they gave him $180 million. The first 2 years are guaranteed, which I think is $100 million of it. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, what is going on? What are they doing? On a team, by the way, who has all this offensive talent, they're loaded, and they're in a division that is there for the taking, right? I mean, I think the Falcons can win the South, and they do not help themselves. They had to really, I mean, really love Michael Penix, amazingly love him.
In the division, Patriots, Drake May, Dolphins, Chop Robinson, and the Jets go offensive line. They pass on Brock Bowers and go with offensive lineman out of Penn State. So, quick thought on the division, Sal.
Yeah, I'll tell you. I think all made their smart moves for them, to be quite honest with you, because I think, you know, the Jets have to protect Aaron Rodgers. And after we saw what happened last year, that's a big deal for them. And you know, they got a guy that can come in, he can probably play right away for them. So that's going to help protect Aaron Rodgers. You know, Brock Bowers would have been a scary thing to add to that offense, but I think that they prioritize making sure they at least got somebody that can help Aaron Rodgers throw the ball. I give Miami credit because they are at least now. I thought that if all this stuff about Worthy for them, and I'm like, come on. Like, if you do that in your Miami Dolphins, what are you really doing? You're not really improving your team. You're just adding speed to more speed, and that speed was rendered moot at the end of the year last year anyway, the way that teams defended it. To take Chop Robinson is, at least for them, insurance on Bradley Chubb, Jalen Phillips, allowing those guys to kind of come back when they need to come back. You got a guy that has a lot of upside. They had to address defense, I think, right there. For me, it was offensive line or defense. Remind me, that's the right play for them. And that could be a really good player for them. We'll see. I mean, you know, we're going to see. He's going to be a wild kind of, a little bit of a wild card and a wild swing there. And then Drake May. How do you not take a quarterback if you're the Patriots?
Yep.
Whether you love Drake May or hate him, whether you think he's going to be terrible or not, if you're the Patriots, you have to do it. When are you thinking you're going to draft third again? Right? I mean, you got to take your shot right there if you're New England, and they did. So I think they all made the right moves for their teams.
Yep. All right, Sal, we'll be listening all day. It's going to be a busy second round and third round now. Three picks today. So from one pick on this day to three picks on this day. So it got a little more exciting.
You got it, man. We'll talk to you guys a little bit later.
Thanks, Sal. Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. Smokescreen season. Oh, the Chargers are going to take a tackle. Right?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
The Chargers.
Yeah. The Giants picked Neighbors.
I know. The Chargers took their tackle. Other smoke screens. Sorry, I wasn't thinking of the Chargers. Who was I thinking of? It was not the Jets. Anyway, I'll find it.
Sorry, I was just reading the most amazing quote from the Falcons GM last night.
Yeah?
Did you see what he said about Penix?
No.
Penix, by the way, is already older.
Yeah, wait long on him.
He's going to be 24 in a week.
And they're going to wait 2 years?
Their GM, Terry Fontenot, quote from last night in their press conference. Let me get the exact quote. On Penix, if he sits for 4 or 5 years, that's a great problem to have.
Good one. Good one.
He'll be 30.
Listen, if you draft
he'll be 30.
A quarterback in the first round and he never plays, that's good.
What an argument to try and make.
Yeah. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. 803-0550. Take more of your phone calls on the wide receiver big board, what the Bills should do. They have three picks today, so lots and lots of needs to address. You can give us a call, 803-0550 on WGR.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.